Richard Branson knew he was an entrepreneur long before he knew what the word meant. In fact, words were a problem for him in school because he was dyslexic. As Branson describes it, he was an inattentive and troublesome student, but after dropping out, the first thing he did was start a business. Sir Richard Branson went on to build a multi-billion dollar empire, from Virgin Records to Virgin Airlines, including Virgin America, also mobile phones, hotels, trains, even space travel. And he writes books of advice. The latest, Like a Virgin, Secrets They Won't Teach You at Business School, brought him into our studios in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for joining us.
A great pleasure.
So I'm going to actually start with the dyslexia part, which you speak of in the introduction in your book. But the reason I'm curious about it is that there has actually been a study which shows entrepreneurs have a disproportionate number of dyslexics in their ranks. So I'm just curious, do you think in a strange way that turned out to be good for you?
I think so. I think by being dyslexic, I simplify everything. I calculate everything on the back of an envelope, and if it makes sense, I'll do it, and if it doesn't make sense, I won't. So I don't overcomplicate it. And I mean, I'll just give you one amusing story. I was having a board meeting, and somebody gave me some figures, and I said, "Well, is that good news or bad news?" And the director said, "Richard, I don't think you know the difference between net and gross." And I owned up, I don't.
And, wow.
And so he pulled out a piece of paper and he penciled in the sea, and then he penciled in a fishing net in the sea, and he said, "Well, you know, the fish that are in their net, that's your profit at the end of the year, and what's outside is your turnover." Sadly, I actually thought it was the other way around. I thought we were doing much better than we were, but I suppose the interesting point about all that is it doesn't matter, you know, too much whether. It's useful to be able to add up and subtract and maybe multiply. And apart from that, you know, you can create an empire with 60,000 employees and find other people to add up the numbers at the end of the year.
But I do wonder, Virgin America has received kudos for its performance. People do speak of it lovingly. But that's in contrast to some of the older domestic airlines here in the U.S., and they're burdened with legacy costs like pensions and older aging fleets. So were you burdened? Were you weighted down with the sorts of things that these legacy airlines have been weighted down with in recent years? Do you think you could have pulled that off?
I think if a company's got a great manager at the top, then they can get these issues sorted out. I mean, it's strange because in America you've got fantastic hotels, great restaurants, but the airline industry just has not gone out to make sure that every single person who flies on those planes get a wonderful experience. And the good thing about that is, you know, that leaves room, you know, for an airline like Virgin America to emerge. And, you know, we did the same thing with Virgin Atlantic when we started 30 years ago with, you know, one plane against British Airways. And the difference there is that actually British Airways did react and they did start copying what we were doing. And they did improve their game, fortunately not as much as Virgin Atlantic, but they did improve their game. And so because you've got legacy things hanging over you, it doesn't mean that you can't get your act together.
Well, then I'd be curious about one business question that's come up in recent days. American Airlines, it's been in bankruptcy for nearly a year, and there's speculation that it might be bought or merge. What about Virgin? Are you interested?
We don't normally buy other companies or merge with other companies because you take on a lot of history. Having said that, it would be quite fun to do something with American Airlines. So if anybody from American Airlines is listening, we'd be happy to get your call.
One chapter in your book is called Change is in the Air, Jetting to Sustainability. Tell us some main ways in which an airline, which would seem to have the hugest carbon footprint, can change that and make a difference.
Well, look, I mean, about 3 or 4 years ago, the Clinton Global Initiative, I pledged that 100% of any profits we made from our airline businesses, we would invest in alternative fuels. And what we've been trying to do is come up with a fuel that we can power our planes by that emits no carbon.
And you expect that to become a reality how soon?
I would hope that there would be enough fuel produced that, you know, most Virgin planes in 4 or 5 years' time would be flying on clean fuels.
That is something that I think nobody would have really thought possible even just a few years ago.
When we did the first test flight on coconut oil, you know, there was a lot of jokes made. But, you know, the most important thing in life is just to try these things. And we tried it. Now the American Air Force and the American Navy with their aeroplanes are actually flying some of their planes 100% on clean fuels already. We've got engineers and technicians all over the world working on it. It will be a reality.
You know, as I said in the introduction, you have started a mind-boggling variety of businesses, starting with Virgin Records, which, by the way, you were how old when you started?
Well, I left school at 15. My very first venture was a campaigning magazine to try to campaign against the Vietnamese War. And then from that, when I was about 16, 17, I started Virgin Records, Virgin, hence the name, 16 years old. I've discovered an artist that nobody else would put their music out called Mike Oldfield, and a beautiful album called Tubular Bells, you know, which actually became very successful. And that helped us sort of build a record company that became, you know, the number one independent record company in the world. And we then signed the Sex Pistols that helped propel us into the minds of people like the Rolling Stones. And a lot of these great artists were attracted and came and signed with us.
You sold Virgin Records some years ago. You don't own it at all, right?
There was something called the Dirty Tricks campaign where British Airways went to extraordinary lengths to try to drive us out of business. And as a result of, whilst this battle was going on, we had to chip in a chip, which was to sell our record company in order to give us the money to make sure that all the staff at Virgin Atlantic had their jobs secure and that Virgin Records was secure. But we're now actually beginning to go back into the music business again many, many years later. So watch this space.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Richard Branson's latest book is Like a Virgin, Secrets They Won't Teach You at Business School.